Alrighty. Good morning, everybody. If you have your Bibles, please open with me to the book of Genesis. The rejection of the book of Genesis has caused great, great calamity to human race. I mean, we're just so messed up because we don't know where we came from. Every means possible of propaganda, worldly propaganda, is being used to, like, erase it. I mean, the scripture says, Peter says, in great foresight, that people would be willfully ignorant of the creation of the world, of the flood of Noah, of the judgment of God, of our position to God in the world, and so forth, and that willful ignorance would bring great calamity on mankind. And indeed, it has. I mean, we're in total chaos now. I mean, men don't know if they're men, and women don't know if they're women, and boys don't know they're boys, and girls don't know they're girls, and nobody knows who they're supposed to marry and who they're supposed to be with, and if anything's right or anything's wrong, and play games without scores and tests without scores and no red ink on the paper, and we lost our minds. We lost our minds because we feel like somehow or another the concept of an absolute truth, a universal absolute truth, has somehow done us harm. The only harm that's ever been done to you by the truth is when you decided that you were going to run at it full speed and bash up against it without a helmet or any pads on. And that's what people are doing. Kicking and fighting and warring and pressing and resisting against the truth. Paul wrote in one of his epistles that, you know, you only receive damage by what we say and what we do when you resist or reject the truth. But when you accept the truth, then it does and wonderful things for you. Brings zeal, brings refreshing, brings some sense of health, spiritual health to your life. You know, so when Genesis is rejected as a myth, or like categorized as a myth like any other myth, then we've totally lost it. I'm sorry to say, but I'm not even going to talk about that today. Not that I've already talked about it, but Genesis chapter 6, I want you to see something important. Genesis chapter 6 and verse 5, and this is right before the flood. I mean, right before. It's 120 years before the flood, to be precise. God sees something happening. Now, we know from what the scripture says, it was Adam and Eve. One man, one woman. From one man and one woman sprang all those that are living on the earth. So there aren't any races. There aren't any of these things. That was never the intent, that there would be that type of thinking on the earth. So all humanity traces its roots back to the first man, the first woman. If you look at the population curve of the earth, and you see now that we're approaching 7 billion, and we crossed over 6 billion around the 90s, late 90s sometime. That's fast, right? The last billion. If you go backwards in time, it was, you know, the 5 billion mark was, you know, 50 years before that, and the 4 billion mark was 100 years before that. And then the, you know, 3 and 2 billion mark and 1 billion people on Earth was like 1800. And then if you just follow it, it's a parabolic curve. It goes right back to nothing. Right around the time of Noah. I mean, it's just, doesn't matter, you know, you have baby booms, and you have the plagues, and you have wars, and you have great times of prosperity in humanity's world, and it all balances out. But the concept that man started populating the earth like 75,000 years ago is ludicrous. There would be a trillion people on the earth right now. Just couldn't be so, right? But so you have Adam and Eve, and then you have some 1600 years of history. They fall, they start producing offspring, those offspring start to multiply on the earth, and then you have a people. Think about this. Try to go back in your mind and your thinking 1600 years from where we sit right now. I mean, now, you can sit here on your phone and talk to somebody in China in real time, pretty much. Crisscrossing over your head are satellites and space shuttles and probes out in space, and we're commercial flights. There's so many things that flying around in the air that we have apps on our phone that we can complain about the noise as they fly overhead. technology is that advanced. Cars are driving themselves. Just think about this now. Go back 1600 years from this point now. It's like 400 AD. Look at how civilization advanced in 1600 years. Now, go back to Adam and Eve's day and think about how civilization must have advanced, and I put that in air quotes, advanced from Adam and Eve's day up until the time of the flood. And God, in verse 5, saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. It's like every other thing, right? I mean, take the internet, for example. The internet could be the greatest tool for the advancement of humanity that there is. But what is it instead? It's a reflection of man's heart. On it is every kind of wickedness, every kind of form of depravity that there is, because every type of communication that we use spreads the depravity of man. And there was a time during the Roman Empire where roads led all out every which way and the world was unified under one law. I mean, it was an uncomfortable unity because it involved oppression and conquest and so forth, but the whole world was unified. The roads went everywhere. That meant that both good and bad could travel everywhere, right? And the more man was able to travel around, the more wickedness spread in the earth, right? Until Rome's corruption and wickedness spread through the earth, and then it collapsed on itself. It self-destructed like all civilizations do. But there was that little tipping point where there was a fullness of time where Jesus landed on the earth to spread the gospel, and the gospel could go far and wide. It was a brilliant time. Unified language, unified roads, travel was easy. There was no, wall up where you couldn't cross over. It was just, that was it. It was a perfect timing to get in there and do that. This time of opportunity, we pivot on that type of opportunity right now with these types of technological advances. But instead of the gospel going forth to the four winds, you know, every kind of human depravity instead goes to the four winds, goes throughout the earth. And that's just what is the trouble, is that everything that man does breeds the corruption of the heart of man and woman. We are corrupt. What we build without God is corrupt. It's so corrupt and worthless that Jesus says, those things that you build, those things that you do without me are nothing. They're destined for the dust heap. Less than dust they'll be in the end. They're completely worthless. They'll be a forgotten thing. Right? So, but God saw the wickedness of man was great in the earth. That was our achievement. 1656 years or whatever it was, and our achievement was we had attain paramount wickedness. And that, look at where the problem lies, that every imagination of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. That driving motivator for our heart was just wickedness, 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 wickedness. We were just doing, propagating, creating, bringing forth that which we were. And I dare say we are without him. Now, it repented the Lord that he made man on the earth. It grieved him at his heart. He decided he was going to flood the earth. Evidence of that flood is far and wide in the earth. I mean, we're living. This island was created by that destructive influence. Like literally living on a terminal moraine, on the pushed end of a glacial push, it is alleged, that we stand and walk and live and drive on. And that evidence is everywhere. You go out now where there's deserts, man, you can stand on a bed of clams, of fossilized clams in the middle of a desert, where the biggest problem you will have if you are standing there is that you are going to die of thirst before you ever find water. And you look around, and in perfect level, there's sediment layers around you, 100 miles around you, that line up perfectly level, that were made by the rising and then receding of the waters as they cut through the sediment layers. Quick. Fast. A cataclysm of epic proportions that they, scientists are doing mental gymnastics. We're so lost scientifically. We're so lost scientifically today for trying to find out some other way than that this is true. I mean, that's why we can't get a bead on it. That's why we can't get a handle on it. That's why you're spending trillions of dollars to go down rabbit trails and not find the end of any of them. That's why you don't know what's going on. Because once you reject the truth, once you reject the truth, you'll believe anything. It doesn't matter how much money you throw at it. There was a flood. Whatever else you find. Fossilized, giant fossilized clams on top of Mount Everest. I'm talking about 17, 18,000 feet above sea level. Miles above sea level. You get up there and you sit down on top of there to put your little flag that you're such a great mountain climber and you can see everything from up there. And you're sitting on a giant clam.
Subduction slowly over trillions of years.
Not. It isn't possible. I'll tell you what happened. This is news to you. God looked around on the earth and saw the wickedness of man was great and that the imagination of his heart was only wicked continually. And he cut free one family of the earth that found grace in his sight, and then he flooded the earth and destroyed it from end to end. Everything that drew breath perished. And then, when they got out the other side, everything was fine, right? No. Turn with me to Genesis chapter 11. Another piece of history, another inexplicable piece of history. It says in chapter 11, now the earth begins to be overspread, you know, the waters assuaged, the families go ashore, the three sons, Noah and his wife finally perish, the three sons start to bring forth what the scripture calls the nations of the earth. Nations, the form of natal from being born. And they just spread out naturally. And Ham went one way, and Shem went another, where the Shemites are, and Japheth went the other way up north, and populated the earth. And that's where the families of the earth, how the families of the earth overspread the earth. Now, the scripture says here in 11, the whole earth was of one language and of one speech. And you've heard me speculate that I thought that perhaps speaking in tongues is this one language and one speech. Why would it be any other language than the first one? And where would that language come except from God? Do you really think language evolved? Seriously. Look what happens to our languages today. We're hand-delivered, beautiful, finished, complete languages in their forms. And look at us now. We're practically grunting out monosyllables. LOL. If anything, we devolve. I tell you, if the earth was even just 100,000 years old, we would be just dust in the wind. And there wouldn't even be wind to blow it. And there wouldn't be a sun to light it. And the moon would be gone long ago. It's just, we are not built to last. The whole earth was of one language and of one speech, and it came to pass as they journeyed from the east that they found a plain in the land of Shinar, and they dwelt there. And they said one to another, go to, let us make brick and burn them throughly. And they had brick for stone, and slime had they for mortar. And they said, it must have been like a big clay deposit there, right? Because they were burning brick like a form of clay. And they were using the slime itself to mortar the stones and put it together, right? And they said, let us make brick and burn them thoroughly, and they had brick for stone and slime for mortar. And they said, go to, let us build a city and a tower whose top may reach unto heaven. And let's make a name, lest we be scattered abroad on the face of the whole earth. Now, again, think about this for a moment. Everything that man or woman or human corruption puts their hand to, no matter how good it sounds at the moment, right? What we end up building is something that ends up corrupt because of the heart of man that's in it, because of our fallen nature that gets endued into everything that we do.